the radar from.
News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Bray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 6th of September, Anno Domini 2003. You are listening just a tiny bit early to the world's greatest computer show, Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I got to get my mic on. I'm Craig Schaller.
That works.
You know,
sometimes you get the professional, yeah, sometimes you don't. Yes, Rob Linton is off today. Craig Schaller is in for him. And as you can see, the Craig cam is up and running, as is our regular show cam. We're on a little early today because what's happening? Baseball?
SU football.
SU football opener, yes.
SU football opener. So luckily you won't miss an exciting instant from kickoff to kickoff. Their shoes and go
me,
home.
I'm sort of ha-ha about it. And my wife, who is originally from Syracuse and a big SU fan, is, yes, we will listen to SU football.
But we are okay. We are here, excuse me, from now till 1 o'clock, and so we'll be taking your calls at the usual number, doing usual stuff. So we're going to do real short news today, and we're going to start with the most exciting piece of news in Western New York. Dave? Oh, I'm sorry. Steve?
Well, Dave's got the flyer in front of him, too, so
yes,
he's going to talk about it.
Yeah. Steve, go ahead.
It is time. Ooh, drum roll, please. This coming Wednesday at 7 p.m. at the MCC Communications and Theater Building on the Brighton campus. It's the leftist most building, or the most left building, as you're facing the campus. There'll be signs as well. Apple Cider, in celebration of our 25th anniversary, is presenting Steve Wozniak, co-founder of Apple Computer and father of the modern personal computer.
And just all-around nifty guy.
All-around nifty guy.
Down-to-earth.
Amazing engineer. Yeah, real down-to-earth kind of guy. He's got some amazing things on his website about things he's into. Tetris came around the other day. They were talking about, you know, he's a Tetris addict. And a few years ago, Brown University made an 11-story Tetris board.
Yes, yes.
Out of one of their buildings. And, miles of wiring.
Oh, yeah,
all the lights
that
would light up. And they have pictures of him playing Tetris on this 11-story building.
Cool.
But that's really amazing. Tickets are $5 for Cider members and students, $10 general admission. You can purchase tickets on our website at applecider.org. Excuse me. There may be tickets available at the door. We don't know how many pre-sales are going to go. We expect it to sell out, so please order your tickets online. Order them early. Don't expect them to be.
But you don't actually get a ticket. You just get your name on a list. And
you get an email response that you purchased your ticket.
Right.
Your name is on the list. Bring that email with you, just in case. Well, you never printed it. Actually, I'm sorry. It's not an email. It's on the website. When you order your ticket, you have a confirmation page that says print this.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, but your name is on the list. Bring your ID. Another thing we're asking, too, is that if you're buying multiple tickets for your family and or friends, and you're not all arriving together, please list all of their names separately. So if they show up before you do, whoever purchased the actual tickets, they will be able to get in. The meeting will start promptly at 7 o'clock. Some introductions, and Mr. Wozniak will be speaking by 7:15. Doors open at 6:30. Please be early. Please be prompt. We're having an interesting...
The earlier the closer.
The closer. We're having an interesting debate about whether to let late people in at all, because we don't want to interrupt them while he's speaking. So please be early, or at least prompt. Doors open at 6:30. Meeting starts promptly at 7. And that's this coming Wednesday, September 10th, 7 p.m. at the MCC Communications and Theater Building on the Brighton campus, 1000 East Henrietta Road, Rochester, New York.
And for those of you who are, sitting there thinking, well, I'm not a Mac person, what do I care?
He never worked on the Macs. He was the Apple II.
He was the Apple,
the Apple II guy, even.
And it's not about any one platform. This is
this
the guy
religion.
Who started the industry. This is the guy who created the hardware that began
computer.
The personal computer
you
revolution.
You opened the box, you plugged it into your television, and it worked.
And it worked.
Because nobody
time.
Had monitors in it. And he was talking on his website, some of the early history, that the... they didn't make monitors then. Televisions didn't have inputs then. So he had to take his television apart, figure out where to plug the wires in to bypass the tuner and get a picture on screen because all the TVs came with schematics back then.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And so did the Mac, actually.
Yeah.
Or the PC, the Apple II. Really, this is the guy who started the industry, and you owe it to yourself
for
$10.
Good evening of entertainment.
You can barely get a movie for that, and this is a live human being who started the whole industry you're part of. So you should be there for this. It's a very, very cool event.
We'll be there.
We'll be there with bells on and pants. Real
please.
Quick. Please. Please. Real quick. If something interesting happened, I guess this morning, last night, yesterday, in terms of Italy time, they passed a new law in Italy. Senders of unsolicited junk emails, that is to say, spam, in Italy will now face jail sentences of up to 3 years. Sending email without the permission of the receiver is against the law in Italy. Offenders now risk fines of up to 90,000 euros, which is about $1.82, and between I don't know what the exchange rate is today, and between 6 months and 3 years in prison if it's proved that they did it to make a profit. So if you send an email to somebody and say, "Hi, I'm a friend of your brother's. He said I should email you," or yeah. "Hi, we're having a surprise party for such and so." Obviously, that's not spam in the sense that they're not trying to get a profit out of it.
But by the letter of the law, it's illegal because the person didn't ask to receive it.
Well, if it's proved they did it to make a profit.
But here's
so that wouldn't, if you're not profiting from that.
But that's.
Well, I need $10 to cover the cost of the meeting we're going to. There you go.
There you go.
But I mean, that's just as like one hand clapping our Senate and they're trying to stop anything. Hello, all I got to do is go over to another country,
right.
Be registered there, and email from there. What are they going to do to me?
Right.
Yeah, now, does this mean the sender is in Italy or the receiver is in Italy?
Sender.
Receiver. Well, if the sender is in Italy and the receiver is in Italy. They can, I guess, they can get caught. Now they do. They do say the EU legislation does say that given the global nature of the internet, it may have little effect. Most spam comes from the U.S. and China, which will be outside their reach. But the point is, they're trying to do something. Yep. I was telling Rob this earlier this morning. Between midnight last night, when I last emptied, I run a program called Spamnix. Which is Spam Assassin for Eudora. It fits right in, and it's magnificent. Between midnight last night when I emptied my spam box and 8 o'clock this morning when I finally looked at it again, I had 1,500 spam messages.
Oh, yeah.
In 8 hours, 1,500.
And this is your personal mail.
This is my personal mail.
Not your business mail.
Right, exactly. This is my personal mail. 1,500 messages. And so for some of us, the spam thing is getting a tad out of control. But we're going to go to the phones now. We're going to go to the phones, and the first person we're going to talk to today is Tim, all the way from Webster, New York. Welcome, Tim. What's your question?
We're life's worth living.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Good. Hey. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I've got a bit of a vexing problem. I hope.
First, we have a question for you. Is life worth living in Webster?
When you move out here, you have to sign a contract that says when you say Webster, where life is worth living, you'll say that.
With a smile.
Yeah.
Okay. And then probably have to pay the town a buck for copyright.
That's right. Absolutely. And you're required to go down to the Bay Bridge by the little sign they've got there in the bushes and trim it once a year.
Very nice. Go ahead.
Actually, it is worth living out here. I like it.
Good.
The problem that I'm having deals with booting up Windows XP. Earlier this week, I went to do that. And I was confronted with a message from the computer that told me that the following file is missing or corrupt. And it is in the WinNT System32 config folder, and the file name was system.
Ew.
Yeah, who was right? And I have searched on the web and in Microsoft's site. And
does it actually boot up, though, after you pass
it? No, you can't. You can't right. boot safe mode.
All right, here's one thing you can try. If you're... When it's booting up, if you hold down the control key,
right,
you'll get a window that allows you to do safe modes, normal, and everything else.
Right.
One of the options is boot last known good boot.
Yeah, tried that.
And it doesn't do it?
No.
All right. So what you're going to have to do is reinstall Windows XP over Windows XP.
Right.
And if you put the CD in, it'll spin up to start the install.
Right.
You have it boot off your CD. The first screen that you'll see where it says that you want to install, you say okay to that.
Right.
You don't do the repair because there's going to be an option of installing or repairing. You want to install.
Right.
Now you'll get to the agreement, and then you got to go to another screen. At that point, the second time you see repair,
yep.
select the second time. And what it'll do is it'll install Windows XP over Windows XP.
I did that?
If you're lucky.
Yes, if you're lucky, because I found that tip on Dave's tips there,
yep.
and I tried that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually never got the second screen, which gave me the chance to hit the R for repair. So what I've ended up doing now is I have two installations of XP, one of which will boot but has none of my
programs
right,
and settings, although I can go to Explore and find all of the folders and the programs in there.
But all the registry entries are gone, so
you'll
have to reinstall all your programs.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the only thing to do, I could take it then.
Yeah.
Yeah, another thing that I'm sure has something to do with it, I can look at what is called the owner folder,
mm-hmm.
and it tells me that I can't open it up, that access is denied, and the little pop-up balloon that tells you what typically is in the folder says it's empty. And that was where originally my documents and pictures and some of the other things were contained, and none of those can be found anywhere.
Hmm.
I don't even know why this did this. I mean,
yes, that's what I was just thinking. We need to move back a couple of steps.
First happened, I mean, it wasn't during a storm. There wasn't new equipment put in. It just came in one day, I think it was Monday evening, turned it on, and was confronted with this message. And I said,
have you run a scan disk and a defrag?
I have not yet.
Because maybe you got some bad sectors developing on that hard drive.
Right.
And, you know, that's why if you sit there and try to do stuff, you know, it's trying to write to that sector because it has been marked as being bad.
Right.
And it keeps failing on you.
Yeah.
You might want to try that first.
I'll give that a shot and see what happens.
The other thing you can try for your owner folder,
yes.
Right-click on it,
yes.
Select Sharing and Security,
okay.
And there's a checkbox that says Make this folder private.
Correct.
What that's supposed to do is make you the owner of that folder.
Right.
And if, in fact, it's not a damaged folder or damaged sector on the hard drive, then you'll own it. You'll be able to open it.
Okay.
Try that. It can't hurt at this point.
Not at this point.
Okay.
Okie doke?
I'll give it a shot. Thank you, guys. Love the show.
Good luck, Tim. Thank you very much. Our next caller, Dan, from Parenton, New York. Welcome, Dan. What's your question?
Oh, hi, guys. My new employer wants me to set up a mail server in order to get my new email, and I have an XP system, and I don't know how to do that. Is there a quick guide someplace?
He wants you to set up a mail server or a mail client?
I think a mail client, although he uses the word server.
Right.
The server is the huge computer in the basement that hands out the mail to everyone on the network.
Okay. He has. He says he was going to call me, and he didn't, about setting up mail and his site.com.
Right.
And I was wondering if I could just jump the gun and get it set up for myself. I know what my new email account is going to be, but I don't know how to do this setup.
Right. The problem with that is every mail system has two addresses you need to know. The address of the mail server where you get your mail.
That's the SMTP.
And the address of the mail server where you send your mail.
And that's the POP.
The other way around.
The other way around. Yeah. SM, POP is where you get your mail. POP or IMAP is coming in.
I have to think in, out.
Mm-hmm. Right. POP and IMAP is coming in. SMTP is going out. You need to, and they may be the same address, but you need to know those addresses. And those are unique to every business.
Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunately, we can't help you set it up unless we accidentally happen to know.
Well, often it's mail.domainname.
Right. So,
well, I do have the domain name.
Well, try setting it up at mail.whatever.
Yep.
But then you're also going to need to know two other pieces of information. One is your email username.
I've got
and
that.
The second is your email password.
Okay, that, he said, once I got it set up, he would send to me via email.
You can't.
Yeah. Well,
because
another
unless
account
you can
that I
get
have.
In, unless you can give him that, unless you can give the system that password
yep.
to get said, in to get your mail, you'll never get that password
or
in the mail.
Or he sends it to a different email address.
That's what he was planning on doing.
Yeah. Yep. That's, so, unfortunately, there's no way to jump the gun. You're going to have to...
I'll have to call him then.
You're going to have to get a hold of him. I wish I could help you there, but...
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you can try setting up Outlook or Eudora or Mailsmith or any of the other mail clients you can use, guessing what the address might be. Mail.domainname or pop.domainname is common, too.
But even so, without the other information... Yeah.
Without the other information,
well,
you're
fact,
not going
to
receive
it. Well, in fact, he could send it all to you in that other address. I mean, he can send the mail server names, your username, and your password, and if he sent them in four separate emails... Chances are
for
real
security
good that they
reasons.
Would be secure.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't want to send your name and password in a single message because then anyone sniffing it would now have it and could get into your system.
Right. I do have my my email name, but I don't have the password.
See, then if he just sends you the password, that's pretty secure because who's going to know what that really means?
Right.
So, yeah, I'm sorry, Dan. I wish we could help you.
Okay. Thanks a lot for your help.
Sure.
Yeah. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Our next caller, Tony from Holly, New York. Welcome, Tony. What's your question?
Hi, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
Good. Virus question.
Yeah.
I ran my Norton antivirus the other night, weekly scan, and told me I had a Trojan horse virus, and tried to delete it, and it would not delete it. And it says it's in a file with a CAB extension. Any clues?
Yeah, that's what it is it can't do it because you've got to go, if you're you're running Windows XP?
Yes.
Right-click on my computer, go to Properties, and there's a tab there that says, I think it says Restore.
System Restore.
System Restore. Click on that, and you've got to put the check mark in there so it doesn't save your previous data and all that.
Right.
And then it'll allow you to remove it.
Yeah, the CAB files are part of the there's a couple types. There's the Windows installation files are in CAB files, and your System Restore points. System Restore is a neat function that every now and then will take a snapshot of your system when it's working on the theory that when it stops working, you can go back to one of those snapshots. The problem is if you get a virus, now the virus is in that snapshot. If you go back to a snapshot, you reinfect yourself. So Norton can't delete the virus file because it's inside the cabinet. So what you're going to have to do is either open that cabinet file manually to delete the virus or delete the whole cabinet file and lose that snapshot ability.
Mm-hmm. And once it's gone and Norton has cleaned it, you could always turn the snapshot ability back on.
Right, and then take a snapshot then when you know you're clean.
Right.
Okay, so once System Restore is turned off, Norton should be able to get rid of it.
Yep,
right, and then if you want to, you can turn System Restore back on.
You also may need to run Norton in safe mode, which turns off all the extra Windows things to prevent it from opening that restore point to try to set it in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Okie doke.
Very good.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We're
going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Craig Schellert, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
On September 11th, Americans will quietly pause and reflect on past tragedy. And we will renew our personal commitment to make our communities better. Join WHAM, the American Red Cross, and your area Jeep dealers for a special blood drive on September 11th at the Dome Arena from 6 a.m. till 7 p.m. Take the time to honor those we lost and give a second chance at life to those in need today. Call 1-800-GIVE-LIFE to make an appointment. And remember, when you give blood, you give life. Special thanks to the Jeep dealers. Jeep, only in a Jeep 4x4.
This weekend, take the short drive down Route 21 to Naples and discover the enchanting village of artists, craftsmen, cooks, and winemakers at the Naples Valley Arts and Crafts Village, a place where you can relax, meet the artists, see their wares, and watch as many demonstrate their craft. Naples Valley Arts and Crafts. Woodworkers, glass blowers, metalsmiths, painters, jewelry makers, and more. Check out the NASCAR shop, tool shed, chainsaw carving, the golf store, and putting green. Naples Valley Arts and Crafts, a village of charming shops surrounding the courtyard. Check out Gonzo's Clam Bar featuring shrimp, oysters, clams, beer, and Finger Lakes wines, and lots for the kids to do. Naples Valley Arts and Crafts. Spend the day with family, friends, laughter, and music. Naples Valley Arts and Crafts. Open this Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, 10 to 6. No admission fee and free parking. Naples Valley Market, South Main Street, Naples. This Sunday, country music's rising star, Ciara Lynn, takes center stage from 2 till 6.
How many times have you looked in the mirror and seen a reflection of a much older person? Now you can make a remarkable change in your life by simply erasing decades of wear, stain, and broken teeth with the miracles of cosmetic dentistry. At Village Smiles, we are experts at restoring that youthful smile that has slowly disappeared over the decades. We will enhance your teeth and create a beautiful new smile as we have for over 20 years.
Call today to schedule a free, no-obligation cosmetic consultation with Dr. Schwedfeger. Call 385-2033 or visit on the web at VillageSmiles.com.
Get ready to say goodbye to frequent heartburn. On September 17th, Walgreens will begin offering Prilosec OTC for frequent heartburn without a prescription. If you've been living with frequent heartburn, get ready to start living without it. Prilosec OTC can relieve heartburn at the source for up to 24 hours with just one pill. Look for Prilosec OTC September 17th right on the shelf at Walgreens. Use as directed for 14 days for frequent heartburn.
Hi, I'm Hunter Ellis, and I want to tell you about my new series, Tactical to Practical.
Tactical to what?
To practical.
Shows have to rhyme now?
No. It's a show about how military technology goes civilian.
Some ex-Navy dolphins cleaned my pool once.
Really?
Yes, only 5 fish a day. Everything was going swimmingly until a Navy SEAL showed up.
Watch Tactical to Practical this Tuesday night at 9, 8 Central, only on the History Channel. And don't worry, Gilbert's not in it.
What?
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer radio show, is brought to you by the Element K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and GreenShield Computer Services. Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180, WHAM. Got a computer question? Call the boys at 222-1180, the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Craig Schaller.
And this is Soundbites. Before we go any further, I want to thank Wayne Howard. Wayne, I'll answer your email later. Wayne has a tape with last week's full show on it.
Great. Right.
And he's willing to get that to us, but I haven't even answered his email. And this is, my life has been a shambles. Before
we got 1,500 spams to deal with.
Yeah, 1,500 spams by the time
a
I
day.
See my real mail.
No, that was only 12 hours,
that's
right?
12 hours, yeah. That's 3,000 a day I'm getting. We put on our website, I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. We put on our website every week a poll. Last week's poll, we had, I want to thank all 414 of you, number 8 on the all-time hit list. The poll was about the kid who wrote the variant on the MS Blaster Worm, what should be done with him.
I'm surprised that he got arrested.
And he was surprised he got arrested. 27 of you, God bless you, you're good Christians. Forgive and forget, I say. Everybody else, throw the book at him, Dano. 93% of you. 387 votes. This week's poll has to do with the great, the awesome Steve Wozniak. He's going to be at Cider this week. Notice I spelled Cider correctly.
Yep.
Who's the person who put Cider in the calendar?
Jim. What did
Jim?
You do?
Somebody wrote to me and said, you know, you're spelling cider wrong, and it's supposed to be periods after it. I know that.
Well, that's been a big debate, because we're incorporated without periods. Apple Cider, Inc.
Ah.
But those of us that have been in for 25. See, I've only been in for 20 years.
Yeah, I know. You're a puppy.
I'm a puppy, yeah.
I've always told you you're a puppy.
Those of us that have been in, that should be a trivia question. What does CIDR stand for?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But it used to stand for something. In the great tradition of Apple and Macintosh programming, step one is come up with a name, and step two is come up with a T-shirt. Step three is come up with what the letters in the name mean.
Right, and then step four, eventually write the program.
Yeah.
Anyway, since Steve Wozniak is going to be at CIDR, we're wondering who you'd like to see in town next. Now, I'm not saying they'll be at CIDR. I'm just saying in town speaking to us all next. The choices are Linus Torvalds, Bill Gates, Lee Felsenstein, Steve Jobs, Steve Ray, or other. Leave a message at the beep. And leave a message at the beep, of course, means to go to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com. And leave your opinion. So far, we have 56 votes, and Linus Torvalds has edged ahead of Bill Gates. Steve actually got votes, five of them.
His wife.
And I'm at CIDR almost every week.
His daughter.
Did you vote for yourself, Steve?
Actually, no, I didn't.
He voted for Bill Gates.
Sometimes it's nice to not have to do anything.
Yeah, exactly. I was torn between Linus Torvalds and Lee Felsenstein.
Yep.
For those of you who don't know, Lee Felsenstein was a phenomenal hardware guy. He created the Osborne 1 and was just a truly incredible.
And director of the Homebrew Computer Club, where Steve Wozniak introduced the Apple 1.
That's exactly right.
And they celebrated their 26th anniversary.
I know,
you
I know.
They're much older than that. That's when the computer industry pretty much founded.
Exactly. So that's please cast your vote early and let us know who you'd like to see in town next. Not that we have any influence over who brings in who, but what the heck, it's better than a sharp stick in the eye. We're going back.
Poking the eye with a sharp stick.
Oh. Right. Poking the eye with a burnt stick is the way a friend of mine from England puts it. We're going to go back to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Glenn from Honey Eye Falls. Welcome, Glenn.
Hello, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Question I have for you. I'm running Windows Millennium on my computer.
Ow!
That's what everyone's
We don't
calling.
Have time for you, Dave. Not you, Glenn. For Dave... Go ahead.
Short show and they still stab me.
I really don't know anything about computers. All I do know is I'm running McAfee Virus Scan.
Yeah.
I've got three potentially unwanted programs, and I have three, possibly four, infected Trojan worms, and it won't let me quarantine them and or delete them.
It might go back to something we mentioned earlier, is you may need to boot the machine into safe mode. Either hold down the control key while you're booting or bang away at the F8 key until the menu comes up and asks you to go into safe mode.
Okay.
Safe mode turns off a lot of the background Windows tasks and programs that make files in use and what McAfee can't delete
thing,
a file in use.
ME has, and that's
also the system restore.
The system restore, and that's probably where some of these files are that he can't do. Just like that other caller, he's got to go in, and I think it's under the same tab under my computer. You've got to find where the system restore option is and turn that off.
Again, if you weren't listening to the previous call, right-click on My Computer.
Okay.
There's a drop-down menu, select Properties. One of the tabs will be System Restore. There's a checkbox that says Turn Off System Restore.
And you want to do that. Then run the scan in safe mode.
I just right-clicked on My Computer.
Yep, and you'll get a little drop-down menu.
Yeah, I went to Properties.
Yeah.
I don't see anything that says System Restore.
Oh, it's not in that menu.
You might have to go under Accessories and that. I love that system, so I can't really tell you.
Yeah.
That OS.
Yeah.
See if we can find it real
quick.
It's
under Advanced.
Might be under Advanced.
Here we go. How to disable. Now, from Symantec, the first link at Google is from Symantec to turn off your System Restore when you're doing a virus.
Okay.
Start Settings, Control Panel, System Properties, Performance, Advanced Settings, File System, Troubleshooting, Disable System Restore.
You know what we'll do? We'll put the
link
to that.
I'll put that link on our website.
Steve will get that link up on our website, soundbites.org. Go down to the lower right.
Craig had it under Advanced. Huh?
Yeah. You're good, Craig.
I have ME. I've had to go through all that.
There you go. You scroll down to the lower right, you'll see a link that says, we heard a website on your show, and under today's date on the right, on the left-hand column will be that link to that... to how to do that. Okie doke?
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Sure.
You're welcome.
Did I see the subtle signal that says we're going?
No. You were just he was right.
Drying your nails. Oh, I see. Excellent.
Yeah.
All right, I get it.
Yeah, he,
very nice. Yes.
Yeah,
let's hear it for Craig, ladies and gentlemen. Our next caller, Dan in Rochester, New York. Welcome, Dan. What's your question?
Hi, guys. My question is, okay, I've got this access database, and I've got it where it's, when a certain condition is met, it automatically sends an email to me. I'm just testing it out on my own machine.
Sure, sure.
And every time I do that, it comes up with this kind of annoying message from Microsoft Outlook. A program is trying to automatically send email on your behalf. You want to allow this. Well, is there any way to, like, have it so that that doesn't pop up every time?
That's part of Outlook's security settings, mm-hmm. where it will try to prevent viruses from coming through by eliminating attachments, except for Microsoft Word documents, where most of the viruses come from anyway.
Right.
There is a link already on our link list for disabling the advanced security features in Outlook Express.
Okay.
And it's hiding.
We have to tell you that's a tiny bit dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Because what it means is that any program that gets into your system can then start sending out email, and of course that's what most viruses do.
Exactly.
Want to be a little careful of that, but certainly for testing purposes, it's okay, as long as you remember to turn it on again when you're done.
So maybe I'm just better off leaving it the way it is then, because...
Well, yeah. I mean, particularly if you're just testing, live with the annoyance.
There may be a setting somewhere to tell Outlook to allow this program to do it, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's unlikely at this point. Some of the newer versions of Outlook may have it, but the older versions did not.
Well, this security thing first started with Outlook 6, Outlook Express 6.
That's true.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So I'll go back to version 5, and you won't have the problem. The worst problem, yeah.
Right.
We'll be able to open some emails.
Okey-doke.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you so much, Dan. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's actually nice that the security issue has been raised. And something is being done about it. So you got to give credit for that. You got to give the folks at Microsoft credit for that.
And then the interesting irony that they don't block Word documents because that's their own file.
Wait a minute. You know that? Do you realize that's 2 weeks in a row
that I've said something nice about Microsoft?
Yes.
I say nice.
Are you converting here? Or?
Never. Never. Never, but I have to say...
It must be a long-running cold or the sinus isn't
I'm not feeling well.
Under the weather?
I'm not feeling well.
I believe in giving them credit where it's due.
Okay.
And is Steve gone? Is that what happened?
That link in our fact list is indexed under disabling attachments in Outlook Express. That's part of the whole security system, and that tells you how to enable attachments and how to enable, basically disabling the security precautions to enable things you want to come through.
Right.
Which also could mean things you don't want to come through.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Our next caller is Tim from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Tim. What's your question?
Hi. I was hoping I could get you guys to argue amongst yourselves. I need to buy a new laptop. My old one died. I had this old IBM ThinkPad. Worked great, and I loved it. Did everything I wanted it to do. My daughter got a new little G4 Macintosh 12-inch, and that thing just works like a top.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of got intrigued with it when she got it. I do spreadsheets. I do word processing. I do some page layout. And I do a lot of PowerPoint presentations. Is there any... Do you guys have an opinion as to what I ought to get?
Well, again, if you...
I can't believe Steve didn't jump in. I waited for you, and you didn't even jump in.
Here's the thing, though. If you already have, say, those... say Microsoft Office and all those other programs. The thing of it is if you go with a Mac laptop, now you're going to have to turn around and get the Mac version of all that software.
Or you can get cheaper equivalents that are just as good.
Right. But there's going to be an initial cost there versus if you stay with a piece on the PC side, installing your old software back onto this existing PC.
Yeah, the reality is we generally don't argue religion unless you're buying the beer. In terms of Mac versus PC, it's whatever floats your boat.
Yes, whatever.
And a lot of it can be what your support group is.
Exactly.
You know, who can you
Good
call
point.
Up to in the morning? Not us.
Right.
But it's interesting that What operating system are you running now?
Where are you running?
For which system?
On your existing PC.
Your old IBM
PC. Well, that's running 2000.
Okay. One of the big issues we talk about is if you're going to cross platforms, there's a learning curve. You have to unlearn the way things one side does it so you can learn the way the other side does it. But the same issue happens in Windows if you're jumping a long way. You know, from Windows 3 to Windows 95 was a huge conceptual change. Mm-hmm. 95, 98 wasn't too bad. But when you get into 2000 and XP, there's a lot of things that are done differently. So even if you're switching from Windows to Windows, there's a relearning curve.
But even in Windows 2000 versus Windows XP, Windows 2000, you had to be your own system administrator, whereas XP, you are the administrator.
It's a little more forgiving.
Yeah. Right.
But, you know, in general, both platforms work well for both types of products.
Again, it's just what you're
going
to do with it.
Right.
If it comes to graphics, I'd say the Mac.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of my clients, I got one client that has 14 Macs and one PC, and I just go in to service the PC because they designed.
What you'll find, I believe, if you switch to a Mac, your productivity will initially go way down because the Mac is so cool, you'll be playing all the time, finding new things in the system and just having a wonderful time playing. I'm the one who said that, and I'm the PC guy, but you'll find that in terms of what you can do with the system, they're equivalent. You can do the same stuff. You can even use, you know, again, you'd have to buy it all over again, but you can use the Office suite if you want to. There are equivalent products that are out there that do 99% of what Office does, and depending on whether you need any of those few remaining functions determines whether or not you need to spend the money.
The big issue was Apple Works for $79 or Microsoft Office for $500.
Right. And Apple Works includes spreadsheets, word processing,
and things that Office doesn't do. It has drawing and painting modules.
Right. Does it have a PowerPoint like
presentation module? Right. And Apple Works comes bundled on the consumer machines, the G3 based iMacs and G4, G3 based iBook laptops, and the G4 based iMacs and eMacs. One of the things that we do find, and it's been in the news a lot in the last couple of weeks, the Macs don't have a lot of the problems with the viruses and Trojan horses that the Windows suffers from. So one of the things that we've seen is that Mac productivity hasn't dropped in the last few weeks.
Right.
There's been a couple of articles in New York Times and Wall Street Journal. You know, what do the Mac users do when the virus hits? You know, you smile and keep working.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't affect us.
Yeah, same with my Linux.
The Linux bots, yeah.
Basically one dedicated Linux guy at work. And then three or four PC people. They were crazy when the viruses were hitting. We didn't get hit, but we spent a lot of time making sure we didn't get hit. Plus, and the Linux guy was just basically sitting with his feet up, working on programs.
Plus, an interesting option is Microsoft now publishes a program called Virtual PC. They bought it from Kinectix a few months ago. So if you absolutely have to run a PC program on your Mac, you can. But for most of them, there are Mac equivalents of the Windows programs.
But aren't a lot of those files, like Word and Excel, cross-compatible?
Yeah, the files are cross-compatible, and it mostly doesn't matter in the file type.
You may have to redo the fonts. You may have to change a font here and there if you use something wacky on the PC side.
Right, but most of the PC people are using Arial and Times, which have Mac equivalents as well. Arial
or Garamond.
Or Garamond, yeah. The bigger issue is some of the smaller niche programs. There's a lot of sort of dedicated what turns out to be access databases. We see a lot in like sports scoring. You want a volleyball scoring program. You can buy one off the shelf for the PC. It's easy enough to write your own in AppleWorks on the Mac. So a lot of the real smaller niche programs have PC versions over the Mac versions. But in cases like that or even some of the other things, the virtual PC program lets you run a Windows program inside your Mac.
I guess the only thing I would disagree with your comments were that when I sat down for the first time and played with my daughter's G4, I was able to use it immediately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was effortless.
Yes.
And frankly, it was easier than it was a zero learning curve as compared to when I went from an old Windows version up to 2000.
Yeah.
It took me forever to figure. And I even still haven't figured some of the things out yet.
The two big differences are only one button on the mouse and having that menu across the top.
Yeah, the menu's at the top.
And if you can get that, you're done.
And on the Mac, you use the control key to mimic the second button on the mouse, or you can buy a two-button mouse. That was one of Apple's biggest early selling points. There's only one button on the mouse, so it makes it hard to hit the wrong button.
Right. Well, the interesting thing, you know, when I said earlier, when I said that you lose productivity, it's because you'll find there are so many cool things you can do on a Mac that you'll start playing with them.
Oh, I see.
Not that you lose productivity because you can't do anything. You can do more, so you'll be playing more.
You forget to do your spreadsheet because you're playing an iMovie and putting together the movie of your kid.
Right, and you're finding all the neat things you can do. And, of course, if you get OS X, you have a Unix background there, so if you wanted to get in and do some other really interesting things, that's all there for you.
You can run almost every X Windows program as well.
Right, so there's a whole bunch of nifty stuff that you can get.
But I don't have to learn Unix, do I?
No, you do not. You can happily never see a command line your entire life if you don't want to.
You can if you want to.
Sure.
Right.
Okay, all right.
That's the selling point when you talk to the Unix people. Oh, there's the command line. Remember Tony? That day Tony was here. Oh my! It's a command line. This is real Unix. And he's typing commands.
Yeah, no. He and I wanted to see the command line. You were trying to show us Aqua.
Yeah.
We're going. Shut up. Where's the command line? Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Tim. Our next caller is Tom from Naples, New York. Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
Hey guys. As usual, terrific show.
Thank you.
I'm battling with a virus.
Go to bed. Plenty of liquid.
High fluid.
You know, if it was that easy, I would. This is a strange one. I'm getting a message, and I use Juno. Juno was unable to access your modem. Please make sure no other application is currently using your modem and it's turned on. And this will do this for like 4 days, and then one day it'll connect just fine. And it's like, you know, I mean, yesterday it worked once. I got 44 messages, and I've got Stinger. I think I got the August 28th version.
Yeah.
It doesn't find anything. I've got Fixed Blast.
Right.
I've got.
What antivirus program are you actually running?
Norton.
And that's up to date?
As near as I can tell.
All right. And have you run Adaware?
I run Adaware. Every time I get off the web, I run Adaware and SpyBot.
And I'll update them.
Yeah. Yep. I got the.
What version of Windows are you running?
98 second edition.
What did you do just before this program started? This problem
if
started.
If you can remember.
Right.
Nothing unusual.
Didn't install anything.
No.
Okay.
Because what it may be is there something, a spy program or virus in the background opening your internet connection for you.
Or you've started up one of those fax programs.
Okay. Yeah. Oh. Forget about those.
Because I've got Zone Alarm.
Yeah.
Well, I've listened to your show for a long time, and I follow all your advice.
Thank you. And here's our latest advice. Send us each $100. Let me give you your addresses. Anyway, the next thing you need, go into your parents' wallet, take out those pictures of the president.
That soupy sale?
Yeah. what you should do is take a look on your system and see if you've accidentally somehow started up a fax program.
Okay.
That because usually come with the modems and with the computer.
Exactly. And see if that's running in the background. You should see a new icon.
I'm almost wondering also if his modem's getting ready to go.
Well, that's possible. Hold on a minute, though. Let me finish with
phone
this.
Phone line?
Right. If that's okay, then what you need to do is to check your modem itself and see if it's any good. Start with the phone line.
Mm-hmm.
Plug a regular phone into the back of your modem, you know, in the other jack.
Okay.
See if you can get a good phone connection. Also see if, in fact, you're getting a good signal. In other words, call somebody and see if it's crackly. Because if it's crackly, Juno won't connect.
Right. It's been pretty good. Let me throw a little monkey wrench in. My neighbor, about a mile or two away, has got the same problems.
In that case, hold on. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. Stay on the line. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Craig Schaller, Tom from Naples, you, us, everybody, Soundbites, Wham, 1180. Be right back.
Borders, language, and culture.
Michael Savage.
Savage. When they say to me, what do you really believe in with the poor of your society and your show?
Michael Savage.
Borders, language, and culture. They say, what does that mean?
Michael Savage.
And I tell them, close the borders.
Get rid of the illegal alien.
Make English the official language.
There's no assimilation here.
And recognize that the commonalities of our culture are what holds us together.
Weeknights, 8 till 11 on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Welcome to this season's final edition of Get Ready for Back to School, brought to you by Dick's Sporting Goods. I'm your host, Coach Jim Klasser. Let's go to Matt on line one.
Yeah, Coach, where'd the summer go? The kids are back in school this week, and we still don't have everything we need.
Well, Matt, it's definitely crunch time, but Dick's has got you covered. They still have great savings on shoes from Nike, Adidas, and New Balance, starting at just $39.98. Line three, Cindy.
Coach, my son outgrew his soccer cleats. What now?
Don't fret, Cindy. Dick's still has great deals on everything for football or soccer from Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour, including soccer cleats starting at just $14.99. And get ready for the NFL season with great deals on official NFL merchandise. Register to win the ultimate tailgate party package this Saturday. Plus, buy $50 or more of Reebok NFL gear, get a free NFL Ultimate Super Bowl DVD. Hey, it's all kicking off now, so get to Dick's, in-store and online at DicksSportingGoods.com. And remember, every season starts at Dick's.
Sound Bites, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
It is the policy of Clear Channel to provide equal employment opportunity to all qualified individuals without regard to their race, color, religion, national origin, sex, age, disability, sexual orientation, or any other characteristic provided by law in all personnel actions. If your organization distributes information about employment opportunities to job seekers, please contact Kim Klein at Clear Channel Rochester by calling 585-444-8207 Midtown Plaza, Rochester, New York, 14604, or log on to our website at clearchannelrochester.com for more details.
Wham's Bob Matthews.
The violence in downtown Rochester. When is somebody going to admit that it's a huge problem?
Weeknight, 6 till 8. News Radio 1180 WHAM. 50,000 watts.
Huh.
I wonder how many gigabytes that would translate to. Welcome back to Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Here's Nick Francesco.
Well, you're right. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Craig Schaller.
And this is Sound Bites, and we're back with Tom from Naples, New York, who says his neighbor down the road has the same problem he has, which leads us to the answer.
Yeah, which only confirms it even more, Tom, is most likely it's your phone line. I mean,
the phone
company is not going to come through and do all the copper.
Right.
And
right.
All it takes is some squirrels and that, especially it's now nesting time. And, if they're chewing on those cables and that and getting in there and moisture's getting in there.
The problem is the phone system was never designed for data.
Oh, I understand.
And the contract you have with the phone company is for voice-grade data. If you can convince them that you can't hear, they'll fix the lines.
Or if you pay some ridiculous amount, they will run a dedicated line to you.
But other than that, you're kind of stuck.
And the additional problem that's happening is that more and more people are getting computers and second phone lines for faxes and computers. So the phone system is overwhelmed even more, and so they're splitting the lines and putting several conversations on one line. Your brain doesn't hear the skips between conversations, but the computer does and usually has a very hard time with it.
I just ran the modem diagnostics, and I couldn't open the port. I have tried. I was going
to
buy.
He's already tried using it once. It might not have hung up because of the bad phone line.
Try rebooting and running the diagnostic.
And then unplug the phone line in the back and plug it back in.
Uninstall the modem. Shut down the machine, physically remove the modem, restart the machine, let it run without the modem, shut it down again, put the modem back into a different slot, and then restart the machine and reinstall the modem software. So basically you're telling the computer there's no modem, and then, I put a new modem in.
Well, it failed to recognize it, so I reinstalled the modem software.
Yeah, but did you put the modem in a new slot?
Yeah, sometimes you need to physically remove the modem.
You really need to do that exactly as
you
said it.
And if you were you're testing it, and you already had something else, it might have, the port might not have reset itself, you've literally got to shut the machine off so that that modem resets itself internally.
I went to where I've got a U.S. robotics modem,
mm-hmm.
and it's 3 years old. I went to buy a new one the other day, and there weren't any. So that leads me to believe that there is something going on.
No, everyone is moving to broadband.
Yeah.
So no one's using modems much anymore.
Well, and actually they had the modems, all the modems for broadband and all that there.
Right.
You know. But this is...
Yeah, try what we got to move on.
Oh, I understand.
Sorry, try what we said and let us know next week what happens.
Okay?
All right.
Thanks. Our next caller, Lisa from Macedon. Welcome, Lisa. What's your question?
Hi. I have a question about McAfee virus scan.
Uh-huh.
I used to use version 5, and then when all the fuss came about that you should upgrade,
yep.
I went to do that, and I decided to go with Internet Security 5.0. I downloaded that from McAfee directly,
mm-hmm.
And that includes Virus Scan 7.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot do instant update with that. I've been online chat with McAfee twice. They've told me 3 different things. I've done all of them, and the last thing they told me was to remove VirusScan from my computer and then reinstall it.
All right. Here's one other thing, though, that you got to do.
Okay.
Is when you do the uninstall.
Yeah.
All right. That before resetting the machine and trying to reinstall it, go into Windows Explorer. Go down to Programs. Now you're going to see a folder there that says McAfee. Delete that one.
You might find NAI or Network Associates first,
yeah.
The publisher of
but
McAfee.
But then there's also a folder that's called Common Programs. You got to click on that plus sign. You'll see another folder for McAfee. So it's in 2 places. One is under Common Programs. The other will be right off the root directory. Delete both of those. Shut the machine down. Restart and try reinstalling McAfee, and that should solve your issue.
What? Okay, folks, I'm sorry. You got to try that, Lisa. I'm sorry. We're done. It's time for SU football. We will be back here next Saturday again at noon because there's another game at 1 o'clock. We want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Craig Schellert. I'm Nick Francesco. Thanks to everybody we got to, everybody we didn't get to. Vote in the poll. Come and see us Wednesday night at the CIDR meeting, 7 o'clock, 6:30, whatever time it is.
Doors open at 6:30. Meeting starts promptly at 7.
See it on their website, link from our website, and we'll see you next Saturday on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Thanks.